I was in here from morning, and I'll die in here.
Seven. Welcome to our group.
And this ought to show it right here.
Good evening, everybody. I apologize for being 17 minutes late, but welcome to our weekly medical broadcast with your host, our Colonel Kimberly Purvis. Now, for those of you new just tuning into us, be sure to check out our national Facebook page by typing in the search box, all capital letters, Defenders 7. That's Defenders, V as in Victor, with two large eyes. Where you click on that join button, just know we expect all of our members and future members to participate throughout all we do here on the Defender 7. Check out and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're on MeWe. Click on Organization, scroll down, Defender 7, Humanitarian American Patriot Group. That's right, folks. We are not a militia. Now for tonight's show and all the shows we do here on Blog Talk Radio, we enjoy it when you call in. That number to call, area code 914-205-5773. Too shy to talk on the phone. We are also live right here on Blog Talk in our chat room during each broadcast. So come on in. Participate and enjoy. Now, without further ado, allow me to bring in your host, our Colonel, Miss Kimberly Purvis, and our major ass pain, Miss Lorna Munson.
Yep.
That's yeah,
me.
Yeah.
Sorry about the lateness.
We know you old timers got to take a nap.
Yeah.
My name's Aunt Lorna.
Oh, whatever.
Oh my God. I'm starting to question my sanity when it comes to these assholes at work. Oh, my God. I have never seen such laziness in my entire life than this damn generation. You know, they just don't want to friggin' work.
Of course not.
You know, the COVID bullshit has made everybody lazy. You know, with all the what you call those stimulus checks, whatever the hell you want to call them, nobody wants to work. And now they're like, well, we want more. You know, it's like before they had problems. Now, God forbid, they don't want to work anything. We have, I'm a bitch, so I don't care. Four people for night shift. Three of them called in. Three called in last night.
That's messed up.
So, when me and the other nurse get to work tomorrow, people are getting written up every damn day. I don't care. You know, when you say you're going to work, like tonight, they got one lady that they just hired her back. She begged them to take her back. well, guess what? You're about to be fired because I'm over this. She says, yeah, I'll work 6 to 10, is what she tells the administrator of the whole facility. So she calls the nurse that's on call tonight. Oh, I'm only going to work until 9. I'm passing meds and I'm leaving. No, you said you were working until 10. You're working till 10 or you're going to get written up for leaving before your shift. So when you volunteer to work, you work what you're supposed to work. If she only wanted to work 6 to 9, she should have said, I can only work 6 to 9. You know what I'm saying? I know it's an hour, and people will be, that's awful petty. No, it's not petty. It's responsibility, especially when you have
to
give out resident meds. And, or actually, it's accountability. And so, one of them, she, and here's the sad thing, she's got grandkids. And she says her shift is 6P to 6A. At 8 o'clock, she calls the nurse on call and says, I might be in tonight by 10. She never showed up, never called.
Automatic write-up.
Oh, she's getting written up for that. And then she's getting written up for the next day where she shows up late again. So I don't care what your excuse is. There's no excuse. Because if you knew you were going to be late or be out, you call 2 hours in advance to say, hey, I'm going to be out or whatever. You know, I get emergencies happen. You know what I'm saying? I get it. Flat tire, your car broke down. I get it. Whatever.
I have anal
but
itch.
But it's accountability. Huh?
I have anal itch.
Yeah. I got anal glaucoma. I just don't see my ass going to work now. and I hear the bullshit. These suckers work 3 days a week. 12-hour shifts. That's it. That's all they work. And it's like, well, what do you do all day? Bitch, I work 10 hours a day, Monday through Friday. And I'm responsible for 100 residents. Give me a friggin' break. I'm there when the doctors are there. The nurse practitioner, the psych doctor's there. I put orders in. I got to do all the shit that the state requires us to do, these functional assessments, what we do for them, and this is how we get paid and all that. And I don't want to hear shit from you people. You do 3 med passes a day for 45 people. God knows. And then you sit on your fat ass the rest of the damn day in between. It's like, whatever, I'm over it. I'm tired of the bullshit. So I'm either going back to my old job or I give it till the end of summer. Because if the shit don't change, I'm not staying. I will not. Don't put up with this crap.
We're all Democrats. That's why they expect that, you know, that monthly check from the White House.
Yeah. I mean, the job's not that damn hard, okay? And we're getting, and this is my biggest bullshit pet peeve. The administrator is not a nurse, okay? Not at all.
How the hell is that?
She just took a patient, because she's the administrator of the whole building. I'm the nurse manager for all the residents. So,
oh God, help
I
them.
Should be looking. Well, tough shit. They love me, so I don't care. me and the other nurse should be the ones looking at the residents that she's potential residents that come in. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And she's not. It's the bottom line. It's to make sure the apartments are full. And I get that. But here's the problem. She accepted a psych resident who's been in the hospital since January 7th. Okay, I don't care about that. I really don't care about what type of patient he is. I really don't, because I'll take care of him, so it doesn't matter to me. Our problem is the other staff. And he's schizoaffective with aggressive behaviors. Big red flag. We are not equipped for that shit. Because he got into it, got aggressive with a staff member who was agitating him. oh joy. So I can imagine what the hell this person did. And they were at Home Plus. And I don't know if you know what a Home Plus is. It's where it's a private home and you have like four or five bedrooms and there's multiple residents that live there. Kind of like a mini, you know what I'm saying? It's 24-hour care. And so not only is he aggressive and schizoaffective and all that cool shit, which we have hateful staff, and I hear it repeatedly, and then we repeatedly write them up and all this. You only got so many warnings of the same kind before you get fired. He's white, and he said where he was at, everyone treated him like shit because I guess they were black or whatever, and that added fuel to the fire, the racism. Well, I don't care what color anybody is. We have all different – we have white, black, we have Hispanic, we have – that's pretty much it. Yeah. But we have people who, well, were in prison for long periods of time. And I do not – I foresee this as being a bad situation. Very bad. So, and they had to call EMS, and then the living home or the Care Plus, Home Plus, when the hospital was calling to give them updates, they refused to answer the phone and then blocked the calls from the hospital. So, yay, me. Guess I'm bringing a taser to work. I'll be tasing bitches left and right. Listen, don't tempt me. We got 12. I think 12. I think he makes 12 residents on parole. We are a fucking halfway house for parolees. 7 of which are sex offenders. I'm like, don't you freaking read? And I get they deserve a second chance. I really do. But this guy has a severe TBI to the point where he got into a fight so bad while he was in prison. And now he's the way he is. So, you know. I don't know. I still work my other job as needed, you know, like on call and stuff. And they all begged me to come back. And I'm like, I don't know. It's starting to look better every day. I want a $7 pay raise and I'll go back. Give me that company car and I'll go back. In a heartbeat. But anywho. So tonight, I thought we would do sleep disorders. Because what the hell? Ain't none of us sleeping more shit. So, I don't know about you guys, but my sleep cycle sucks right now.
Mine too.
And part of my sleep issues is being on call. I've been on call since the middle of fucking February. And so, you know, that's why my sleep sucks. But, and so when I'm not on call, and then, you know, you're always checking your phone. Oh, shit, did I miss the call? You know what I'm saying? And it's like, and these assholes will text. And I'm like, are you serious? You're going to go like, ding. That's ding. That's what I get for notifications, for text messages. You have to call me with the obnoxious ringtone that I pick. So I'll hear it. But, and that's why I have, and not to mention, you know, once I got out of the military, especially if you're in the military, you know your sleep sucks anyway. And a lot of times you get up at the ass crack of dawn or the, oh God, it's early. So that sleep sucks. And then depending on what your job is, a lot of times if you work for like, if you've been a nurse 23 years, but I have 30 years of really, really working, probably 15 of them have been on night, either 7P to 7A or 11 to 7. you know, and that's a hard shift. And so people end up having sleep problems when you have to stay awake. So when you get home, I don't know about you guys, if you've ever worked night. When I worked 7 p to 7 a, I would come home and go right to bed. Because I'd only work 3 days on, 4 days off, 4 days on, 3 days off. And you got to get that sleep. And so what I would do is, unless I had like doctor's appointments and other bullshit, and then I would sleep afterwards, or I try to make them on my days off, if you can. But it's, do you, like, on your nights off, do you stay up all night long, or do you go to bed and try to get your 8 hours of sleep or whatever? So same thing with, I'm trying to think of what other jobs are like that. A lot of construction jobs, you're up at the ass crack of dawn. You know, farmers, dairy farmers, they have the 4 o'clock in the morning to milk the cows or whatever, or feed the cows, feed your animals. So once you do that for so long, your sleep cycle will change. Why do you think all the people in the nursing homes, they're up at the ass crack of dawn most of the time? After 40 and 50 years of a job, your body is used to that. You get used to that. I mean, it takes a long time to regulate your sleep. So what is, and I'm going to go over, there's only like 5 or 6 different sleep disorders. So the first one's insomnia, which, like I said, there's different types of insomnia. So you have, Bobby, I don't know what kind of insomnia you have. Which one do you have?
What's that?
But what type of insomnia do you have? Do you have the, you lay down, we'll just say you lay down at 10 o'clock, stare at the ceiling, toss 400,000 times, and finally fall asleep? Or you could fall asleep, but it's staying asleep. Or do you have both?
Yeah, that's my problem, falling asleep and staying asleep.
I
don't have a problem falling asleep. It's staying asleep.
Oh, it's staying asleep. See, not me. And I've got off all of my sleep meds because they weren't working properly. And when you finally get a right dose, then you're, if you don't, and most of your sleep meds are going to tell you, if you can't dedicate 6 to 8 hours of sleep, don't take it. And I would end up taking my sleep med at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock because I shit you not. It took me 3 hours at least for sometimes for the, like, trazodone. I don't want 150 milligrams of trazodone for sleep. Holy crap. And I'd still be awake. And I'm like, screw this shit. And I finally just weaned myself off and got off of it. Melatonin is really good for insomnia, but melatonin is a natural chemical in your body, and your body produces it anyway. And if your melatonin levels aren't high enough, you're not going to sleep. So my issue is I will lay down in bed. But here's my problem with my insomnia. My brain doesn't shut down. I will go you got to pay a bill, right? Wow, damn, I got to pay my light bill. And then your brain's going to go from the light bill to this bill to this bill to this bill. Ah, shit, now I got to do. And so my brain would just constantly go from one subject to the next. And that's why I can't go to sleep. And that's why I can't. So a lot of times you have to relax I don't want to say de-stress. Like wind down, like sit on your couch, listen to music, read a book, do whatever, because it really helps. You can't just, I don't know about you guys, but for those of you who can fall asleep the second you lay your head on your pillow, piss off, okay? I hope you get explosive diarrhea in traffic, because you stop. Because you suck, okay? I cannot. The only time I can fall asleep like that is if, like when I, like yesterday, I worked from 7 until 4. I'm supposed to technically leave at 3. No, I never do. Today I didn't get home until 5:30. And because I got to get up at 6 o'clock to start getting ready because I got to go pick up one of my employees, and that's the only reason why I go to work so damn early. But yesterday, I sat on my couch. I shit you not, I turned the TV on to watch a movie, and I was catatonic within 5 minutes. But here's the problem with those. Power naps. If I sleep a half an hour catatonic sleep like that, I don't go to bed until 2 o'clock in the morning. So you have to know your body. You know what? And the older you get to where, power naps are great. Power naps are great. It's like children. Never let your child take a nap after 5 o'clock. Well, I would say toddlers and up. Because infants to one-year-olds, they sleep most of the time anyway. So you get to that toddler phase of your life where if you take a nap between 5 and 7, fuck it, you're not going to bed until 1 or 2 in the morning. And so then you have, so just say, like, if you can't stay asleep, right, do you feel restful when you get up in the morning? Body?
Not always.
Because you're probably not hitting your REM sleep. And that's
nope.
What your brain completely, that's your dream phase, okay?
Yeah,
and here's
right.
The thing, just because you don't dream or you think you don't dream, it's because how you woke up. And that's a whole other conversation, but which is pretty cool. If you don't hit that REM phase, you're not getting restful sleep. So you're like at that, I'm drowsy and I light sleepers. We hear everything, a flea fart, and you're like, what was that? And then it takes you forever to fall back asleep. Same problem. And so a lot of times if you can't stay asleep, you get that broken sleep, and especially if you have problems with pain. When you have problems with pain, you're not getting restful sleep. Every time you turn over, oh, my God, my back, you know, your back, your whatever. And so – and that's why people aren't getting enough restful sleep. So so one way is and you know, and as adults, we don't like to admit it, but you have to develop patterns or a routine when you get home from work, if you work. If you don't work, well, you still need a routine. Like, say you work first shift, you get home, do the same thing every day if you can. Go home, pick up a little bit, like if you have to take out the trash, mop the floor, sweep, vacuum, whatever. Make dinner, eat, and then sit down and relax and do what you got to do. And start winding down from, just say, from 7 o'clock on, because if you know that you can't go to sleep, you got to change. Don't have if you get up constantly, guys, I know you can have that BPH with your prostate. And you have to get up and pee 1,000 times a night, don't drink anything after 8 o'clock at night. Some people have that problem. Don't drink a lot of fluid after 8 or 9 o'clock at night. Some people cannot drink caffeine. So at a certain point, my son could drink coffee. That sucker could drink a pot of coffee at midnight and fall asleep by 12:30. I'm like, I hate you. So I can't. If I have coffee, I'm one now because I had one cup this morning, and I usually don't have a lot of coffee anymore. After 8 o'clock at night, that's it. I cut it off. Or I'm not going to bed. So, and I don't drink a whole lot of bold coffee anyway, except the Black Rifle, which, by the way, Walmart now has Black Rifle coffee. So, yeah. So watch out how much caffeine intake you have. You know, Oh, and the other issue is stress can cause insomnia, keep you from going to sleep. Something else you need to think about, watch what you watch on TV before you go to bed. I know it sounds crazy. If you have an overactive imagination, like I do at 51 years old, fuck me, I can't watch certain movies after 8 o'clock because my brain is so overactive. If I watch a scary movie, and I mean, I'm talking a scary movie that I haven't watched, have never seen or haven't watched in a long time. Have you ever seen Darkness Falls by the Tooth Fairy?
Yeah.
It's an old movie made. Okay. When that first came out, it was creepy shit. I like creepy, freaky movies, not gore. I will not watch gore. But I could watch that now and not really give a shit, you know? But there's a movie called Lights Out, and I watched it last night. Damn it, why'd I watch it? It's because it's creepy, and it's called Lights Out for a reason. So watch out what you want. Oh, yeah, I'm telling you. I have to watch. There are certain categories of movies that I cannot watch, and I know because of my imagination. It's just, and also triggers that I have, and I know what I got to watch for. So what I'll do is I'll put on music or thunderstorms on my YouTube and on my TV and play a thunderstorm, and that knocks me out. Listen, I shit you not. I know this has nothing to do with sleep problems, but, you know, at my age, I should not have the phobias that I have. I can go, and I thank God I have no basement now. I can go outside in the dark. I can go in the mountains in the dark and not give a shit. But I'll be damned if I have a basement, I cannot go in the basement at night in the dark. Because of, I know it's an unrealistic fear. Me and Phil's talking about this. It's an unrealistic fear, honestly. But, yeah. So, know your triggers and what keeps you from going to sleep. So, and insomnia can actually last for days, weeks, months, or even years. Now we're going to go to the complete opposite of insomnia, to narcolepsy. So, you guys know what narcolepsy is?
Yep.
What,
you
can
fall
narcolepsy?
Asleep anywhere, standing up, sitting down, don't matter where.
Yep. Narcoleptics, man. I you know what, in all honesty, I'd rather have insomnia than narcolepsy. And the reason being is, so it's called excessive daytime sleepiness, or EDS. And because your brain is unable to properly regulate wakefulness and sleep. So normal sleep unfolds through a series of stages. Like remember we were talking about your REM sleep, or rapid eye movement. And that's the final stage. But that's usually an hour or more after you fall asleep. So your REM sleep happens a lot faster with narcoleptics, because the changes in the brain that disrupt how sleep works. So a lot of narcoleptics can't drive because they will fall asleep driving. I got a resident who's a narcoleptic. I swear she's got to be. She'll fall asleep right in the middle of talking to you. They don't know it. You can fall asleep standing up. I mean, and it's really dangerous. And so you got to watch what kind of work you do with that. So there are two types of narcolepsy, type 1 and type 2, henceforth the two types of narcolepsy. Type 1 is with the symptom of cataplexy, which is a sudden loss of muscle tone. Wow, that sucks. So I've never heard of that one. So it can also be diagnosed when a person has low levels of hypocretin. And it's a chemical in the body that helps control wakefulness. So that sucks. Narcolepsy 2 is narcolepsy without cataplexy. So let's see. So 10% of narcoleptics have type 2. 90% of all narcoleptics have type 1. So it affects people between 20 and 67 people per 100,000. That's a big gap. Between 20 and 67. So out of 100,000 people are narcoleptic. And here's the weird thing. There are, I don't know what you, like what you would call the typical narcoleptic. My brother-in-law, my ex-brother-in-law, could be sitting on the couch, and the moment he's comfortable, boom, he's out. But I don't think that's what you would consider narcoleptic. I mean, that's just people that can fall asleep at the drop of a hat. So disrupted nighttime sleep. Sleep fragmentation is common in people with narcolepsy who may awaken multiple times during the night. Other bothersome sleep problems like excessive physical movement and sleep apnea are also common in narcoleptics. So there's a lot of this thing have other issues. Oh, sleep paralysis. Have you guys ever heard of sleep paralysis?
Yes.
Yes.
Have you ever had it yourself?
No.
Not that I know of.
Okay. So sleep paralysis, people with narcolepsy have a higher rate of sleep paralysis, and it sucks. So it's when you're sleeping, and it's also associated a lot of times with night terrors. People who have night terrors also have sleep paralysis, or they can. Pat has it, and I have it. You could be having a dream, and you're screaming, and you can't move. Nothing comes out. So in your dream, you're trying to scream to wake up from a nightmare that you're having, but you hear nothing in your dream. You know what I'm saying? It's like if you were to be, you know, like if when you dream, do you hear people talking and stuff like that, like you're actually there in the dream? Or am I just crazy? You know.
No, I've had that.
Okay, like you're what? But you're screaming and you can't wake up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you feel like you can't move. You feel paralyzed, henceforth paralysis. You physically cannot move. You can't even turn over in bed or thrash to wake up. That's what the sleep paralysis is. And a lot of people with night terrors have those. When I have the night terrors, holy shit, it is awful that you scream and you're screaming in your head. Huh?
I guess I experienced at least once.
Yeah. Here's the thing. People with sleep paralysis don't have it every night. Usually it's from either a traumatic event, and I'm not saying it could be from anything. If you have nightmares, some people have horrible nightmares. That's why they're called night terrors, aside from nightmares. And they're awful. And sleep paralysis is a bitch. I mean, it's just, I'm glad I haven't had it in a long time. It's been a long time. Knock on wood. So there's also sleep-related hallucinations. Vivid imagery can occur while falling asleep, what they call hypnotic hallucinations, or when waking up. This may accompany sleep paralysis, which may be particularly disturbing or frightening. So have you ever had vivid dreams that they're so vivid you don't know if they're real or if it's reality or if it's a dream? I dreamt that I got shot, and I was back in the military, and I got shot in the stomach. I was so freaked out. It was so realistic that I jumped up and was grabbing my stomach to see if I was really shot. I actually felt the pain. I dreamt that my oldest daughter died. And this was a long time ago, but she's actually 34. But, it was way past the time of her age. But it was so realistic. I got so scared, I jumped up and went and ran in her room to check on her. And so that's what they're talking about, those vivid dreams that you don't know. And I'm talking about a realistic dream. I'm not talking about, like, an alien space invasion, nothing like that. I'm talking about, you know what I'm saying, something that's realistic. You know, or the zombie apocalypse, that's not realistic either. So, but yeah, those are really hard. So, but if you have sleep problems, go talk to your doctor. And they usually start at the, like with insomnia or whatever. Ambien, I like Ambien for short term because, one, it becomes addictive. And then after a while, it's like Benadryl, it stops working. So then you have to, so a lot of doctors do, like especially with where I'm at, melatonin, one, because insurance sucks and they don't want to pay for a lot of medication. But a lot of my residents have psych issues anyway. So they also have to watch out if you have issues with mental illness or whatever and on what medication they put you on. So sleep apnea. This is another one. It sucks. So sleep apnea is a sleep-related breathing disorder, and you stop breathing when you sleep. It's pretty much simple as that. And so there's different types of sleep apnea. There's obstructive sleep apnea, and that's when the airway at the back of the throat becomes constricted or blocked during sleep, which may cause snoring. That's why you snore. I have enlarged adenoids, and if I sleep on my back and if I have two pillows, it pitches off my airway and I stop breathing and I do that snort and I wake myself up. If I sleep with one pillow, I'm fine. If I sleep on my sides, I'm fine. If I sleep on my stomach, it's only if I sleep on my back. And that's when I stop sleep. I stop breathing and I caught myself and they thought I had sleep apnea. But you have to do a sleep study. And that's how they tell if you have sleep apnea. But there's the obstructive sleep apnea, and that's usually what that is. And so the noises, as air is prevented from passing through normally, a person will wake up, and you might take several deep breaths, and you panic. Because you could tell you just stop breathing, and you panic. A lot of time with the obstructive sleep apnea, you don't get restful sleep. But pay attention. Figure out which way you have it. I freaked my kids out many times, and they came running, scared the shit out of them. And my daughter used to shake me right before I went into the military back in 2008. I'd scare the crap out of her. And I worked nights and shit, so and I was sleeping during the day, and because of that, and that's when I figured out that I gotta stop sleeping on my back. But so yeah, the sounds you make is like snorting or choking, and that's how is a possibility that you know. So this type of sleep apnea affects between 10 to 30% of adults that go undiagnosed. But here's the thing, if you have sleep apnea, you can die from it because you stop breathing. So central sleep apnea, it's the disruption in the communication between the brain and the muscles that control breathing. So your breathing becomes really shallow, and sometimes you have pauses in breathing. Also, this is something you may have heard. I don't know if you have or not. When a person is approaching end of life, you have pauses that we call it pauses of apnea. And normal breathing, normal respirations normally is between 12 and 18 breaths a minute. With apnea, you start having bigger gaps between. And so a lot of times the respirations will be less than 10, and it'll be shallow. And they'll have 10 to 15 seconds of apnea, sometimes even 30 seconds. But there's a big difference, though, but that's just, you know. And here's the thing with obstructive sleep apnea. excessive daytime sleepiness, loud snoring that's often punctuated by gasping or choking sounds. Oh, wow, I didn't realize this. That must be what mine's called then. Headaches in the morning that may persist for several hours after waking up. See, I have a lot of headaches when I first get up, and, you know, and then they go away. A lot of times, you know, headaches are dehydration, pain, your blood pressure. But a lot of times with the obstructive sleep apnea, you get headaches. Dry mouth upon awakening, because you're probably a mouth breather, and you're sucking in air, and you're drying your mouth out. Restless sleep with periods of wakefulness during the night, increased need to get up from the bed to urinate. Irritability or frustration, and that's probably because you're not getting restful sleep. Reduced focus. Some of those, I mean, they're not immediate. And over time, if you notice all of these, hey, it's time to go see your doctor and they'll send you to have a sleep study done. So symptoms of central sleep apnea. And these are the people that need to be on CPAPs or BiPAPs. So it's funky, and they changed the way they make CPAPs now and BiPAPs. Now they have them where it only covers your nose. And it's the constant flow of oxygen. So when your brain says, hey, I don't want to breathe, you're still getting oxygen in your brain. And some people, shut up. Sorry, my dogs are acting like a bunch of tards. Even when they take naps, if you have sleep apnea, you need to put your CPAP on or your BiPAP on. Because it doesn't matter if it's a 20-minute nap or a 30-minute nap, you still need to have it on. Oh, dang it. Hold on. So hold on a second. I gotta corral the dog. Okay. The other owner's home. He can take care of the dog. So, So sleep apnea is abnormal breathing patterns. Your breathing will slow down, speed up, pause. So you can even have that at any time. Excessive daytime sleepiness, again, because you're not getting good sleep. Nighttime awakenings. Sudden shortnesses of breath or chest pains at night. Difficulty focusing. And, again, morning headaches. So, and there's different causes for the obstructive. Like I said, your adenoids can be enlarged. The way you sleep. And those are the biggest reasons for it. You know, I know. It's still good. Okay. And then I've never heard of parasomnia. I didn't make anything yet. I was going to. I do need to, Well, I'll cut the show short, but we started it. Well, wait, Bobby, what was the reason why we didn't start at 7 o'clock? Were you napping?
I didn't realize the time.
Oh, you
so
didn't realize.
My,
we're sitting there on freaking... Me and Lorna's like, Bobby must be napping. And I'm like, well, it's 10
he was
I'm
napping. Don't let... He was napping. Don't let him pull the wool over your eyes.
I wish I was napping.
I can't hear you because of fucking airplanes. My God.
Get the D out of your ear.
Okay. No, it's gone.
Oh, you got the
you
D out of your
now.
Ear?
Huh?
You get the D out of your ear?
Yeah. The stupid airport. It's like 10 minutes from here. I mean,
So parasomnia, I don't even know what this is called. It's called NREM related confusional arousal, like when you get up and they wake you up and you're confused, like you don't know where the hell you're at. That sucks. Sleepwalking, night terrors, Oh, okay, I didn't realize that. It's sleep-related sexual abnormal behavior, believe it or not. And I don't know the exact word for it because that's not what the exact word for it is. People do have sex while they're sleeping and don't know it. But I forgot what it's called. And it's an actual real thing. But more men have it than women. It's weird, but yes, they do. REM-related parasomnia, REM sleep behavior disorder, reoccurrent isolated sleep paralysis, and nightmare disorder, and then other, what a title, exploding head syndrome. That just sounds so horrible. Sleep-related hallucinations and bedwetting. Okay, with bedwetting, I'm going to say that I can guarantee you that every adult in this world has wet the bed at least one time or another while they were sleeping, and I'm going to tell you why. Aside from someone being lazy or being intoxicated or high or whatever, if you have to go to the bathroom, right, and you don't get up fast enough, your brain will start making you dream about you going to the bathroom to wake you up. And then you'll piss yourself trying to get up and go to the bathroom. Been there, done that at least once in my adult life, and I'll tell you, it is not fun. Especially when you can't get up fast. And you're like, holy crap, I'm really going to the bathroom. And you'll start going. So, yes, that, I'm not saying that's for every person. And I'm not talking about, unless they are talking about, there are issues with signals to your brain where you can't control your urine. There are some issues where you have no idea that you have to go, and that's what we call incontinence. But, yes, there are, and some medications cause that, too. Let me see if they have a thing where it's called, because I want to see what, what they're saying with this is involuntary urination while during sleep. Wow. I don't think any of my kids had real bedwetting after five. They may not have, or they could have just had too much to drink. And that's how, if it happens with children, you have to cut off their water supply before 8 o'clock. That's usually the best time because that's when they have issues. And sleepwalk, shift work disorder. We already kind of went over this. I'm going to go back to the other, the parasomnia, the sleepwalking. I think all three of my kids used to sleepwalk occasionally up until their teenage years. And the funniest one, I kid you not, was my oldest. And she was five or six. And she told me she was trying to pick up crayons in her sleep. So you could actually act out a dream, something like that. Some people, when they walk in their sleep, some go to the kitchen and get something to eat or drink and have no idea they're doing it. Some go to the bathroom in their sleep, like walk to the bathroom and go to the bathroom and have no idea. My kid's cousin, he actually used to sleepwalk and go to the bathroom when he peed in his mom's purse because he thought he was in the bathroom. And a lot of Alzheimer's patients have that problem that I've noticed. They can't relate to where the bathroom is, and they'll just go anywhere. So, yeah, I thought that was kind of – so what is shift work disorder? We kind of went over that. It has to do with the circadian rhythm sleep disorder. A lot of night shifters. Some people who work night shifts can come home, and like I did, I have a problem, and go to sleep no matter how much daylight is in the room. Some people have to have blackout curtains when they work nights. When they come home, they got to have, because your body has to adjust to it. It's called natural light and darkness. And some people who are blind, their circadian rhythm gets off. It's flip-flop, especially if they're not born blind. And so a lot of blind people have circadian rhythm sleep disorder issues. So there are some complications of sleep disorders, mood problems, poor work performance, high accident risk, because you're not getting the sleep you need, and like I said, you know, your RBF will be showing a little more than it should. People can have other health problems, substance abuse problems. I mean, there are so many things that can come from poor sleep. Or poor sleep can cause, you know, lead to those issues. So, I think I got one more. Restless leg syndrome. Okay, restless leg syndrome sucks. And it's exactly what it sounds like. It's also called Willis-Ekbom or Ekbom disease, and it causes uncomfortable feelings in the leg. Huh? What?
No, I'm sorry. I was just talking to somebody.
Oh, okay. So it causes uncomfortable feelings in the legs, like itching, prickling, pulling, and crawling. And it causes your legs to have the urge to move while you're sleeping. It's also like a nervous tic, like your foot has to go shift back and forth in the bed. The way I found out, and mine's mild, my restless leg is mild, and I'm not going to take medication for it. It's mild, and I'm going to suck it up. It's when I had my sleep study to figure out if I had apnea, I got restless leg. And it's only one leg. It's my left leg that constantly moves because I kept knocking the probes off. And your legs will move all night long. And pretty much, so people with RLS walk, stretch, or shake their legs to achieve symptom relief. The pain tends to be worse during inactive night times when you're trying to relax and lay down. 5 to 10% of adults and 2 to 4% of children, and it's found in women more often than men. But usually it's an older adult. I didn't know. Hell, I didn't know until I was late 40s. And like I said, the twitchy, uncomfortable, restless, need to stretch, urge to move. Mine's the urge to move. Or they just move on their own. And you shift all night long. Your legs will just constantly move. Almost like a nervous twitch. You know what I'm talking about? Or like you're shifting knee. Like when I'm sitting down, my knees do it all the time. Or my leg will do it. And they're constantly moving. That's what the restless leg is. And there are medications for it. But I'm not going to, nah. I could take Benadryl and force myself to become tired and go to bed. Let's see. A lot of pregnant women get restless legs. Sometimes late-stage kidney disease, iron deficiency, neuropathy, MS, and Parkinson's have MS. Just because you have any of those issues doesn't mean you have it, but a lot of people who have those, will have it. It's also known to have a genetic component. Between 40 and 90% of patients with RLS have at least one first-degree relative, like a parent, sibling, or child, who has it. So, and here are some of the common things, and right here to tell you, alcohol, caffeine, nicotine, and some medications, like nausea meds, cold and allergy med, and mental health conditions. So it sucks, but yeah. So here are some of the things. Maintain healthy sleep hygiene. And I don't know why they say sleep hygiene, but try to go to bed the same time every night if you can. A lot of people who work like 3 days on, 3 days off, or 4 days off, like with 12-hour shifts, they'll stay up later because they know they don't have to go to bed work the next day. But see, that backfires in the long run. Yeah, I know. Like me, on Saturdays. I know I don't have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, but guess what? My stupid ass gets up at 6 anyway. Massage your feet. Exercise. Consider the pneumatic pressure therapy or take a hot bath. So, and here's the biggest thing with any sleep problems, insomnia, and all of that. Here's the biggest thing that I learned. If you go to bed, if you go to lay down, right, and you haven't fallen asleep within 15 to 30 minutes, get up, walk around your house, go to the bathroom, go sit on your couch, because that's part of the problem. Your brain hasn't shut down yet or slowed down enough. So get up and go or pick up a book and start reading it. A lot of times reading a book will knock people out. But they say get up after 15 to 30 minutes and go, like, walk around your house. Go sit on the couch. Do something for a few minutes and then go lay back down. You're trying to train your brain to shut down. But that's all that there really is on sleep disorders. I mean, we really covered it really good. And the non-24 sleep-wake disorders, it goes along with the circadian rhythm disorders and all that cool stuff. But that is the all for sleep disorders. You guys have anything else to add or not add? Yes, no, maybe so. Trevor, hold your peace. Hello?
What?
Lauren is sleeping again.
See? Don't take these power naps because you won't go to bed before 2 o'clock.
Oh. Mike is to me. He just woke up.
Something I did notice about myself, because I have mild ROS and stuff, and I have muscle spasms, I take Flexeril. I did notice that if I take Flexeril and a Tylenol, I'm able to have a better time going to sleep. Because if I lay there in bed and don't suffer through pain, if you notice that your back's starting to hurt a little bit, I'll just lay here and relax and it'll go away. No, it won't. No, it won't. Get up and take a Tylenol or a Motrin or whatever you have before it starts. I notice that. If I lay down and I hurt already, I will go ahead and take that one Flexeril and a Tylenol. Just one. Regular strength Tylenol.
Why not? Or
you could do heating pad. Yes, you can. Heat's very good. Help you go to sleep. As long as you get a timer on your heating pad. Some heating pads do not have timers, and they stay on the whole time. Or some will shut off if you let go of the button. Mine has a timer on it. So, and I did not know this. I saw this from I forgot what kind of doctor it was. If you have problems going to sleep, put socks on. Because
why?
There's something about your feet with the veins in your feet. If your feet are warm, you're able to fall asleep faster than if your feet are cold and the veins are constricted, and it keeps you from falling asleep. It's a little tidbit of useless knowledge, you know, to shove into your head. So. But that's all I got. So we can.
Okay.
And
it,
I got a mountain of paperwork to do. I got to audit. I'm not done yet. I got to audit 50 charts. Yeah, from the pharmacy.
Damn.
Yeah, well they do this once a month. Well, they haven't been doing it and they've been slacking. Pharmacy sucks. So they'll just send us a printout of all 100 residents I have downstairs, she has upstairs. And it says, you may reconsider relabeling, like, ibuprofen is for pain. Oh, no, let's not go with that. We'll go with aspirin. It's a mild pain reliever, but They said you may consider taking off asking for pain level because it doesn't always, it's not really always used for that. Usually it's used for heart attack patients or as a blood thinner. And so they had to go through in all their recommendations and do all of their recommendations and change it. Because that way if the state comes in and they'll check it all, and them fuckers will get you for everything. So that's what I get to do. Another chart on it. Yay. Of my, as mm-hmm. my CMA said, useless position that I don't do shit. I'm telling you. You know, I don't make enough money to do this job. I really don't. Even though I got a $7 pay raise, I don't, still don't get enough money. I don't to put up with this bullshit. I really don't. But hey, I can't complain. I have a job. I show up for my job. And that's all I care about. You know? And that's it.
True.
So.
That's
anywho,
true.
You know, it could be worse. My CNAs make from $15 to $18 an hour. And my CMAs make from $18 to $20 an hour. So, I mean, it could be worse. A lot worse. So, but okay, go ahead.
All righty. Thanks again for another great show. A lot of good info on here, so people listen and got questions, shoot them over to Colonel Kimberly Purvis. God bless America. God bless our children, first responders, veterans, military, and God bless the Defender 7. Good night, everybody.
Good night.